Breeze smiled.
Well, now, that's clever. Almost makes up for how you treated me. Have I mentioned yet how rude that was?
You can't, Beldra said, standing, facing Spook. Nobody will believe that I've deserted.
Oh? Spook asked. Did you speak to the soldiers outside before you came in here?
Of course not, Beldra said. They'd have tried to stop me. I ran up the steps before they could.
So they can confirm that you entered the building of your own will, Spook said, sneaking around a guard post. Doesn't look good, Breeze agreed.
Beldra wilted slightly, sitting down in her chair.
By the forgotten gods, Sazed thought. She really is naive. The citizen must have expended a great deal of effort in sheltering her so.
Of course, from what Sazed had heard, Quellian rarely let the girl out of his sight. She was always with him, being watched over.
How will he react? Sazed thought with a chill. What will he do when he learns we have her? Attack.
Perhaps that was the plan. If Spook could force an outright attack on the citizen's part, it would look bad. Especially bad when Quellian was turned back by a few soldiers. He couldn't know how well fortified their position was.
When did Spook get so clever?
Beldra looked up from her seat, a few tears of frustration gleaming in her eyes.
You can't do this. This is deceitful. What would the survivor say if he knew what you were planning?
The survivor? Spook asked, chuckling. I have a feeling he'd approve. If he were here, actually, I think he'd suggest that we do this very thing.
One can see Ruin's craftiness in the meticulousness of his planning. He managed to orchestrate the downfall of the Lord Ruler only a short time before Preservation's power returned to the Well of Ascension. And then, within a few years of that event, he had freed himself. On the timescale of gods and their power, this very tricky timing was as precise as an expert cut performed by the most talented of surgeons.
50. The door to the cavern opened. Vin immediately downed her last vial of metals. She jumped, tossing a coin behind herself, leaping up onto the top of one of the freestanding shelves. The cavern echoed with the sound of stone on stone as its door opened. Vin threw herself forward, pushing off the coin to shoot toward the front of the room. A crack of light outlined the door, and even this small amount of illumination hurt her eyes. She gritted her teeth against the light, blinking as she landed. She threw herself up against the wall just to the side of the door, clutching her knives, flaring pewter to help her deal with the sudden pain of light. Tears crept down her cheeks. The door stopped moving. A solitary man stepped into the cavern, bearing a raised lantern. He wore a fine black suit and a gentleman's hat. Vin ignored him. She slipped around the man and ducked through the door, entering the small chamber beyond. A group of startled workers shied back, dropping ropes which were connected to the door's opening mechanisms. Vin ignored these men as well, other than to shove her way through them. Dropping a coin, she pushed herself upward. The wooden ladder's rungs became a blur beside her as she soared up and slammed into the trap door in the ceiling, and bounced off it with a grunt of pain. She desperately caught rungs of the ladder as she began to fall, ignoring the sudden sting in her shoulder from hitting so hard. She flared pewter and pushed down on a rung with her legs, then slammed her back up against the trap door, trying to force it up and open. She strained. Then the rung broke beneath her feet, sending her toppling down again. She cursed, pushing off her coin to slow her fall, and hit the floor in a crouch. The workers had backed into a huddle, uncertain whether they wanted to venture into the dark cavern, but also uncertain whether they wanted to remain in the small room with a mistborn. The suited nobleman had turned. He held his lantern high, illuminating Vin. A bit of broken ladder rung fell free and cracked to the stone floor beside her.
The trap door is well secured with a very large rock on top of it, Lady Venture, the nobleman said.
Vin vaguely recognized him. He was a bit overweight, but was kempt, with very short hair and a thoughtful face.
Tell the man up above to remove the stone,
Vin said quietly, raising a dagger.
That is not going to happen, I'm afraid.
I can make it happen, Vin said, stepping forward. The workers pulled back even further. The nobleman smiled.
Lady Venture, let me assure you of several things. The first is that you are the only Allomancer among us, and so I have no doubt that you could slaughter us with the barest of efforts. The second is that the stone above is not moving any time soon, so we might as well sit down and have a pleasant chat, as opposed to brandishing weapons and threatening each other. There was something disarming about the man.
Vin checked with Bronze, but he wasn't burning any medals. Just to be certain, she pulled a bit on his emotions, making him more trusting and friendly, then tried to soothe away any sense of guile he might have felt.
I see that you're at least considering my offer, the nobleman said, waving to one of the workers.
The worker hastily opened his pack, pulling out two folding chairs, then arranging them on the ground before the open stone door. The nobleman placed the lantern to the side, then sat down. Vin crept a little closer.
Why do I recognize you? I'm a friend of your husband, the nobleman said. Teldon, Vin said, placing him. Teldon Hastings.
Teldon nodded. She had seen him at the ball a few weeks back, the first one they had attended. But she'd known him from someplace earlier than that. He'd been one of Eldon's friends in Luthadel before the collapse. Warily, Vin took the offered seat, trying to figure out Yeoman's game. Did he think she wouldn't kill Teldon just because he'd been Ellen's friend? Teldon lounged in his chair, somewhat less proper than the average nobleman. He waved a worker forward, and the man presented two bottles.
Wine, Teldon said. One is pure, the other contains an extremely powerful sedative.
Vin raised an eyebrow.
This is to be some sort of guessing game?
Hardly, Teldon said, opening one of the bottles.
I'm far too thirsty, and from what I hear, you're not the type who possesses an excessive amount of patience for games.
Vin cocked her head as Teldon accepted two cups from a servant, then poured some of the ruby wine into each. As she watched, she realized why he was so disarming. He reminded her of Elland, the old carefree Elland. From what she could tell, this Teldon was genuinely still like that.
I have to grant Yeoman that much, she thought. His city may not be perfect, but he has created a place where men like Teldon can retain some of their innocence.
Teldon took a drink of his wine, proffering the other cup to Vin. She slid one of her knives into her sheath, then took the cup.